Well, it has been quite a week here in our nation, and for 50 years of Roe versus Wade and thinking that this would be a culture of death that would never turn around in this nation, we've seen that that has changed from a federal level to the state levels. Now, our state, our governor has pledged to be that mecca of abortion, so we live in a state where our governor is saying, come, and we can take care of that issue for you. It's really surprising. I mean, this is like key for prophecy update stuff, but once again, our nation remembered what a woman is. They've forgotten for the last several months, but when issues come up that tend to play into certain directions, it's like, oh yeah, we do have women, and they need their health care. That's what they call it. But our nation is messed up. They're twisted. I have a couple of quotes from David Fiorazzo from an article he wrote this week that is basically going off, I think it's a Gallup poll of our nation, and that less people believe in God, but especially the younger people, less are believing that there is a God in our nation. And so it shouldn't surprise us that people that do not have hope in God, it shouldn't surprise us that all they have is this hope in this world. And they've been told, they've been raised in a school system, many teaching that we have evolved from lower to higher powers. And, this is it. And what we do with this life matters now. But we'll learn today in our text that, no, it actually is not it. And it matters on into eternity. On into eternity, as here in John chapter 5, we are in the chronological journey through the Bible, and it brings us into the second year of Christ in the beginning of John chapter 5. We looked at this last week of an unnamed feast that brought Jesus and his disciples to Jerusalem, and I gave reasons why I believe that this unnamed feast in John's gospel is a Passover feast. And if being the Passover feast, it marks the second Passover feast in Jesus' ministry, so bringing us into the second year of Jesus' ministry. The theologians call the second year of this ministry the year of popularity, but we learned last week, though Jesus was gaining great popularity among the common people, the religious rulers went from being troubled by Jesus, but now wanting to end his life because of his doing works on the Sabbath. And they continue that debate as we enter into our text in John chapter 5, in verse 24. And so this is our 20th lesson in the chronological journey through the Gospels. And after the healing of the man by the pool of Bethsaida, the religious rulers now seeking to kill Jesus because of his work on the Sabbath day. But Jesus did not run from these men, but rather taught all people how they can receive everlasting life and escape the judgment of God. And so here we have, in this portion of Scripture, in verse 24, the New Testament Passover, that's the title of today's lesson, looking at John 5, 24 through 47. And our first point, in verses 24 through 30, whoever hears and believes. Our second point, one who bears witness, verses 31 through 40. And 41 through 47, our third point, receiving the honor of God. Jennifer, I have feedback up here. I can hear it ringing a little bit. So if you can take me down a little bit, I guess. We need some sound baffles up here. It gets really echoey on the stage. Anyways, I'm just trying to help out. Our radio station, they said Wednesday they could hear the echo coming through. So anyways, it's up here. We'll just have to deal with it. So let's go ahead and pick up in verses 24 through 30. I'll go ahead and read the context for us in John chapter 5. And the Word of God tells us, Jesus speaking, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So whoever hears and believes, verses 24 through 30. And we find that the dead hears and finds life. We read through this passage, and Jesus talked about both those who are spiritually dead but alive physically today hearing, but also those who are physically dead hearing the voice of Christ. So whoever hears and believes, but there's a huge difference. Those who are spiritually dead but physically alive today, they hear the voice of Christ and come to Christ in life-saving faith, then they have everlasting life. They have everlasting life. But those who are physically dead, when they hear the voice of Christ and had never come to faith in Jesus Christ, they are raised up to condemnation. So to remain dead, never coming to life-saving faith in Jesus Christ, ultimately means God's judgment is coming upon those individuals. But here in verse 24, John 5, verse 24, Jesus said, "Whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." They have passed, the New Testament Passover verse. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 12, we are given the instructions for the Passover, and the very first Passover for the Jewish people, and they were to take a lamb, every household to take a lamb for each household, to kill the lamb at twilight, to take some of its blood, and to paint it over the lintel and the doorpost of the home with hyssop. Now, hyssop has been described as a paintbrush of faith. They paint on the blood of the lamb upon their home. And this meant that when the destroyer came into Egypt that night, that when the blood was painted over the entryway to that home, then the destroyer would pass on by. The firstborn remained alive in the household where the blood of the lamb was painted over the lintel and doorpost of that home. But where the blood was not found, death came to the firstborn, whether man or beast. But realize that everyone that was spared life on that night at the first Passover, they only lived to die at some future date. They would either die in the wilderness or die in the promised land, but they lived to die at some future date. Here in John 5:24, Jesus teaches about those who hear and believe that they have everlasting life. And even though we may die physically, we have everlasting life through faith in Jesus Christ. And this New Testament Passover verse teaches that everlasting life is gained in two ways. First of all, we hear the words of Jesus. The Word of God tells us in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8:51, "Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, they shall not see death." Not only hearing, but believing, keeping the very Word of God. So to have this life, first of all, we have to hear the words of Jesus. Secondly, we have to believe in him who sent him, believe in God who sent his only begotten Son. Hebrews 11:6, we have it up here. Under the believe, our first point of the church motto, believe, receive, grow, and go. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You must believe in him who sent him. You have to believe that there is a God. I'd already mentioned that at the close of this message. I'm going to read a couple of lines that were written by David Fiorazzo, the radio host of Stand Up for the Truth, but talking about less people in the United States believing that God is. If you don't believe that there is a God, you have an even harder time believing that in God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. So the two things that we learn here in the three things, actually, we learn in the verse of Passover in John 5:24. It tells us that, first of all, we need to hear the words of Jesus. Secondly, we need to believe in God the Father who sent Jesus. And the third thing is that those who do these two things, they already have everlasting life. It's not, I hope I have life someday. Jesus doesn't say that they will have life. He says that they have life, that they have passed from death into life. We already have that position in Christ. In verse 25, it says, most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So not a 60-minute hour, but the current church age. The hour is coming, and Jesus said, and now is, that those who hear my voice will live. They have everlasting life. It's been made available to us through the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus dealt with the penalty of sin once and for all. The Word of God tells us in Hebrews 10:10 that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves when he went to the cross. He says, those who hear my voice, here in John 5:25, those who hear will live. Now, on three occasions in the New Testament, Jesus brought back those who are physically dead. He brought them back to life. We have the widow's son from Nain, and Jesus gave him physical life again. We have the daughter of Jairus and Jesus' friend Lazarus. But Jesus, like in the first Passover, though he gave them physical life again, they only lived to die again physically one day. And though he brought them back, it was only temporary in the sense that they would live out the remainder of their physical life upon this earth. They would live to die again one day, like the children of Israel who were spared when the destroyer came on that first Passover. But here Jesus is teaching that those who hear the voice of Christ in responding in life-saving faith, that they have everlasting life. Though you may die physically, our citizenship is in heaven, already set apart for us in heaven. In Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21, Paul declared, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that we may be conformed into his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Our citizenship, Paul understood, Jesus taught, it's already in heaven. And we're on the roll there in heaven. And he talks about the judgment there in verses 26 through 29. First of all, in verses 26 and 27, the grave hears and is judged. For as the Father has life in himself, Jesus said, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they all have life in themselves. The three, as we know, are one, the triunity of the Godhead. We find it in Psalm 33, verse 6, this is a great verse of creation that's found in the book of Psalm that speaks about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you have to play into John chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We understand that Jesus Christ being the Word, so don't skip that point. Jesus is the Word. And when we go to Psalm 33:6, it tells us, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. So by the word, Jesus, by the word of the Lord, God being the Lord, the heavens were made by the breath of his mouth. The Holy Spirit, Ra, is the Hebrew word for breath there, and it is not only speaks about wind or breath, it is the word that is translated as spirit in the Hebrew portion of our Bible. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Hebrews 36:9 says, for with you is the fountain of life, and your light we shall see light. With you is the fountain of life through Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. We find life as the life givers in the triunity of the Godhead. They give physical life to every person who has lived, is living, or will live upon this earth. But most importantly, as life givers, they offer everlasting life to those who come to faith in Jesus Christ. Yet everlasting life isn't the only thing that God has placed under Jesus' authority. He also said that God has given me authority to execute judgment. According to the Bible, there is a coming hour of judgment when Jesus will judge both the living and the dead. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. He says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Paul told Timothy in his last letter to the church, to Timothy, he says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I charge you that judgment is coming, so therefore preach the word. Judgment is coming. Our responsibility then as believers in Jesus Christ is to share Christ with others. Jesus went on to say in verses 28 and 29, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming. Remember, not a 60-minute hour, but a time, a season. So the hour is coming in which all those who are in the grave will hear his voice and will come forth. And those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So going past the hour of grace that we find ourselves in now, and a coming hour of the end times, when the Lord Jesus, at the end of the tribulation of the church, the rapture of the church, the great tribulation, then we go into the millennial reign of Christ. After all these things comes the judgment of everyone. Those who are found in Christ, they'll be raised up to the Bema Seat judgment of God. Those who are without Christ will stand before the great white throne judgment of God. There is no, according to the word of God, there is no soul sleep. There is no reincarnation. There is no purgatory. You can't work your way out of hell into heaven. It's the decisions that we make here and now, while we live, that determine our future, whether heaven or hell. 1 Peter 4, verses 5 and 6 says, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And for this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. We preach Jesus Christ to the unbelieving world, the message of the church. The unbelieving world, even if they think the church should continue to exist, they believe that we should update our message, that it would align with the world. But let me tell you something, that this world is ever fickle. If you try to catch up to where their mind is today, tomorrow it will be in a different place. You're just gonna, this is what we need to be and become. It's like, okay, we're there, we made it. Nope, that's not quite it. We need to be over here. They're always shifting, always fickle, always changing. You'll never be able to keep up with them. You'll go from having two genders to three genders to 112 genders, as one website states today. You'll never keep up. It's an endless thing with them. That's why they have the plus at the end of that phrase. Whatever possibly could come. The world believes that the church is a hindrance to their plans, and they are exactly right. Because we believe God has a different plan for this world. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. We believe that there is a heaven, that there is a hell. We believe that the choices we make on this earth today make a difference to our judgment in the future. The choice of believing in Jesus Christ means that we have everlasting life according to the Word of God, John 5:24. And to choose Christ now means that we should live for Christ today, not just hope in heaven one day, but that we live as believers in Jesus Christ this day. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on the earth. And he said, with all this authority, then go therefore and preach the gospel. As believers in Jesus Christ, he has given and commissioned us to go therefore and proclaim the truth of the Bible. Whether people believe it or not, that's what we've been called to do. God has already clearly detailed how one might pass from death into life. In 1 John 3:14, John says it a different way. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren, and he who does not love the brethren abides in death. Don't be those who abide in death. Those who hear and believe in Jesus, the Word of God tells us that you have already passed from death into life. And then Jesus goes on to talk about one who bears witness. Actually, we'll find that overall there's at least four witnesses named. But my point, one who bears witness, verses 31 through 40. I'll read it for the context. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is one who bears witness of me, and I know the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice or at any time, nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you did not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and these are they that testify of me. But if you're not willing to come to me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So one who bears witness. Jesus rightly stated, according to the law, that's all he's saying. His witness was true. But according to the Mosaic law, Jesus said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. And even the Jews would agree with this in John 8:13. They would say to Jesus, you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. And Jesus would respond in John 8:14, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from, where I am going, but you do not know where I come from and where I am going. His witness was true, but what he's talking about is the legality of the Mosaic law, where in Deuteronomy 17:6 it said, Whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. He shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. So Jesus, in verse 31, is only talking about the legality of the Mosaic Law. It took two or three witnesses to establish anything according to the Mosaic Law. Therefore, Jesus continues by presenting another witness. In verse 32, there's another witness who bears witness of me, and I know the witness which he witnesses of me is true. So biblical scholars, they debate whether in verse 32, Jesus speaking about this other witness, whether he's talking about Father God or whether he's talking about John the Baptist. Now, Jesus goes on immediately in verse 33 to talk about John the Baptist. But personally, I believe he's talking about Father God. Notice how he words this in verses 32 and 33. There is another witness. There is another who bears witness of me. I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John. He has borne witness of the truth, yet I do not receive the testimony of man. So Jesus, I believe, is saying that though John was a true witness, and for a while they enjoyed the light of John's witness, Jesus said, I don't put my reliability in the testimony of man. But he presents John, but this is not who Jesus is talking about. I believe Jesus is talking about God the Father and the works that God has given him to do. But he does uphold John as a witness. I believe he's talking about God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. As we know in Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17, when Jesus was baptized, when he came up out of the water, it tells us the heaven was open to him, to Jesus. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and he heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God the Father, God the Son testified of Jesus. Ultimately, it's the testimony of God that counts, since the testimony of man is unreliable. Jesus said that I do not receive, verse 34, the testimony from man. In John 2, verses 24 and 25, it says that many believed in Jesus, but Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. He had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what is in man. He knew, though, the testimony of man can be true. We are very fickle. We can change our mind, just like the woke culture of our day today. They believe that we need to go one direction. We need one thing. You kind of meet them halfway, and suddenly they want to take it further. Suddenly they want to take it further. They are never satisfied. They're fickle. I've already addressed that in a sense. But even John the Baptist, when he was in prison awaiting his death, he sent his disciples to Jesus asking, Matthew 11, verses 2 through 6, the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked, verse 3, are you the coming one or should we look for another? And Jesus said, go tell John the things that you hear and see. The blind and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed him is he who is not offended of me. Go tell John, even John, in his heart, he thought, Lord, did I get this right? Why am I in prison? So the testimony of man can be a very fickle thing. Yet John did bear witness. He talked about it in verses 33 through 35. And for a while, they received that testimony. He was a burning, verse 35, a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Between the Old and New Testaments, we have 400 years of silence, and what the Bible tells us of 400 years of silence. Then John came on the scene, and he caused quite a stir. There had been witnesses of Christ and the coming of Jesus Christ, and there had been many. And the testimony of John caused such a stir that the religious rulers came in John 1:19. They sent messengers, the priests and the Levites, to ask John, "Who are you? What's going on here? You didn't speak with us," the religious rulers might have been saying to John, "before we gave permission for you to preach and baptize people. So who are you?" And John testified, said, "I'm not the Christ, I'm not Elijah, I'm not the prophet." In John 1:23, "I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." And John was a burning and shining lamp. He spoke the truth of the gospel. He called people to repentance because the kingdom of God was at hand. And for a while, the people rejoiced in John's light. But the political class, the religious rulers, they questioned John's authority. They also questioned Jesus' authority. They did not believe in the baptism of John, but they were afraid to say anything. Reminds me of politicians today. They know what they believe, they know what they think, but hey, it's election day coming. I said Tuesday is it. We go and vote here in Illinois for the primaries, and you kind of wonder sometimes who you should vote for by the words that they say. And maybe we have a little better knowledge today with the media that we have today. We're able to explore people's positions more thoroughly by the records or the words that they have spoken in times past. But oftentimes, they just spin truth. They say a lot of words. One time I asked a politician who was running, I asked him three specific things. He said a lot of words in response to me. He did not answer one of the three things I asked him. The baptism of John. So Jesus asked the religious rulers, was it from heaven or was it from men? We see in Mark 11:30 through 33. So the religious rulers never believed in John. They didn't believe in Jesus, and they reasoned among themselves trying to figure this thing out. How should we answer? And they took it to the lawyers and said, what should we say? If we say from heaven, he will say, then why didn't you believe in him? If we say from men, they feared the people and who counted John to be a prophet indeed. So they said, we don't know. And Jesus answered, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. They knew, they just didn't want to answer because they feared the people more than fearing God. John was for a while a burning and shining lamp. And we too should be a reflection of the light of Christ. Jesus called us in Matthew 5:14 and verse 16 saying, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. So we should shine brightly for Christ today. Verse 36, Jesus said, but I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. The works, his work of teaching and healing the sick, the raising of the dead, which he hasn't done at this point yet, but would. The very works that he do testify that the Lord sent him. In John 10:25, I told you, and you do not believe, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So the works that Jesus did bore witness that the Father had sent him. But also there was a coming work. And the greatest of all works, when Jesus went to the cross, and the work of the cross, Jesus described it as a work in John 17:4 when he was praying to his Father. He said, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And there on the cross, he cried out to Tetelestai, it is finished. And there is no greater work than the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross. It is through his death, burial, and resurrection then that we pass from death into life when we have faith in Jesus Christ. 37 and 38, the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. So there were many who testified of the coming of Jesus Christ. There, in the opening pages of the gospel, we learn of angelic birth announcements. There was the testimony of Zacharias and Elizabeth, of Joseph and Mary, of the shepherds, of the wise men, the just and devout man named Simeon, and that prophetess named Anna. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry came John the Baptist, who testified and proclaimed in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus came preaching the message, the same message that John preached. Jesus preached as well, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." His disciples came alongside to proclaim the truth of the gospel as well. There were many who testified. Yet the religious rulers, never truly having a relationship with God, did not receive the testimony because the word of God did not truly abide in their hearts. They had no relationship with God, nor did they receive or believe the testimonies regarding Jesus. In John 3:18-19, it tells us, "Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." That is true to this day. Men love darkness rather than the light. Their deeds are evil. The problem is that we found in our world today that no longer are those who love darkness willing to stay in the dark, hiding their evil deeds. They're willing to come out and express those deeds in our world today, and to actually call evil good and good evil. They're reversing everything that we know of as truth in our world today. And sadly, the world had so darkened their evil hearts against Christ, and that's true to this day. It happened in the time of Christ. It's happening to this day. That darkened hearts are so dark that they cannot believe. The religious rulers could not believe. But there's always hope in Christ. He said to them, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. These are they that testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life." And the prophets testified concerning Jesus' coming. In the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy 18:15-18, when in the Gospels they refer to the prophets, Jesus being the prophet, when John the Baptist said, "I am not the prophet," he was referring to Deuteronomy 18:15-18, which says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. From your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. I will raise up from them a prophet like you from among the brethren. I will put my words in his mouth. He shall speak to them all that I command them." So this is one of the many Old Testament prophecies pointing to Jesus. Jesus, we learn in Deuteronomy 18:15-18, four things about Jesus and this Old Testament prophecy. Jesus was like Moses in that he directly communicated with God. The Word of God tells us in 1 Timothy 2:5, there is only one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. Jesus was like Moses in that he directly communicated with God. Number two, Jesus came from among the brethren of Israel. The Messiah has to be Israeli, from the tribe of Judah, through the line of David. There are prophecies set forth that only Christ could fulfill. And in Acts 3:26, Peter testified, "To you first, God, having raised up his servant, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning everyone from your iniquities." His servant, Jesus. From the brethren of Israel. Number three, God put his words in Jesus' mouth. Jesus would testify in John 12:49-50. I don't speak of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So Jesus, like Moses, spoke the words of God. Jesus speaks the word of his Father. Number four, Jesus spoke all that his Father commanded him. So he testifies that everything the Father gave me, I spoke to you. He said, you search the scriptures. And there are those who read the Bible out of habit. They just something my parents did, so I do it. Every day I read a verse of scripture. I mean, there's people who read the word of God. They could read one verse, three chapters a day to get them through the Bible in a year. But some people just do it out of habit. Others read the Bible as part of an academic pursuit. There's a degree that they need. They want that Bible diploma. There are those who study the Bible and hope to refute it as false. But if we only read out of habit or academia or to refute it, we miss the whole point of the Word of God. These are they that testify of me. The Word of God points to Jesus. In Hebrews 10:7, it tells us, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. In the volume of the book it is written of me. These are they that testify of me. Have you believed in the many testimonies concerning Jesus? So I think my phone is dinging up here. I forgot to put it on silent. All right. Now I'm silent. Usually it's you guys, sometimes it's me. And that was just somebody trying to get me to purchase something. 20% off today. Wow, thank you. I had to get past that distraction. It's like, who is that? It's me. The very word of God. These are they that testify of me. So receiving the honor of God, verses 41 through 47. We close out this passage today. This final point, it says, receiving the honor of God. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe? Who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes only from God. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who will accuse you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So true honor, in verse 41 and 42, he says, Jesus speaking, I do not receive honor from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in you. He's condemning them. It's like, I know you, and God's love isn't in your heart. You may know the word of God, but you don't believe the God of the word. And again, there are people who are like that. They may know the word of God. They may even quote scripture. They may do it from a political position and quote scripture. Sometimes they quote it to twist scripture or the meaning of it, but they do not have the love of God in their heart. So they had the absence. Without the knowledge of God, there was an absence of the true love of God in their hearts. And if taken to the distance of this, then they rejected the Son of God and the relationship of faith versus life versus a religion of works unto death. And that's what they had developed, a religion of works unto death. Mark 7:6, Jesus would answer them again, saying, well, did Isaiah the prophesy of you hypocrites? This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I do not want us to be a religion unto works to death, but a relationship of faith unto life. And that comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in verses 43 and 44, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes only from God? They had a sorority of fellowship receiving those who were part of their group, their clique. But they conflicted with the very word of God. They had developed this religion of death, these man-made traditions. They tried to represent God. They acted like they represented God. The people believed that they represented God. In fact, at one point, Jesus would tell them to do the words that they speak to you, because when they read the Bible, read the Old Testament, the prophets, they were speaking truth. But he said, do not follow them, because they did not live truth. Sadly, their man-made traditions actually caused them to reject the testimony of God, God's only begotten Son. 2 Corinthians 10, 17 and 18 says, but he who glories, let him glory in the Lord, for not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. So we need the approval of Christ. Jesus went on to say in the last few verses, once again, verses 45 through 47, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. There is one who accuses, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you'd believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Although Israel had attempted to live according to God's law, their man-made traditions had so watered down the word of God that they could not understand its truths. In John 9, 28 and 29, it says, you are his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. So they're reviling Jesus. And they're saying, we're Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, Jesus, we do not know where he is from. But their religious rulers, though they claim to be Moses' disciples, their traditions actually caused them to stray away from the true faith. Additionally, their tradition so blinded them that when Jesus came, they could not even recognize the Messiah. And when Jesus judges them, he'll judge them according to the law of God's word. He says, Moses will stand up and witness against you. I won't even need to. Moses will stand and witness against you. Romans 3, 21 and 22 says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and in all who believe. To honor the Son, it comes by believing in Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. Those who hear and believe, according to verses 24 through 30, those who hear and believe, we have already passed from death into life. It's not a hope of heaven someday, but that has already been sealed as part of a guarantee of our position and faith in Jesus Christ. There's no soul sleep, no indulgences that you could pay your way out of hell or someone could pay it out for you. No purgatory, no reincarnation. Today it matters what we do with Jesus. As 2 Corinthians 6, 2 tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's one who bears witness, as we saw in verses 31 through 40. And have you believed in the many testimonies concerning Jesus? I'd teased the article by David Fiorazzo this week, and here's a couple of paragraphs that he wrote. Actually, two sentences that I pulled up. From 1953 to 1967, for example, 98% of the U.S. adults believed in God. Fast forward to 2022, when only 81% of Americans say they believe in God, according to a new Gallup poll. We have regressed from a time when nearly all American adults believed in God to today, where only 68% of young people between 18 and 29 believe. 68%. So even if it says 81% of our nation still believes in God, when you go to the 18 to 29-year-olds, only 68% say that they believe that there is a God. Now, many years ago, and maybe this is changing quickly, but many years ago, for an adult to come to faith in Jesus Christ, they need to hear the gospel presented to them at least seven times. Seven times. Sometimes we think, well, I don't want to share my faith. Maybe they'll reject, they'll laugh at me. Well, maybe you're just one of the seven that need to share. Maybe they won't receive it. Maybe they just need to hear it one more time. And the Lord wants to use you to share with someone one more time. They haven't got to that number seven yet, and they're at number three or four. And we need to share. Those who hear and believe. One who bears witness and one receiving the honor of God. In verses 41 through 47. That honor of God comes by believing in Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. The New Testament Passover verse, John 5:24. Most assuredly I say to you that he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life. He has passed from death into life. And Father, I pray that we are those who have heard your word and have believed in God the Father who has sent you. That, Lord, we have believed in the work that you did upon the cross, your death, burial, and resurrection, that we have received the gift of salvation. And we thank you for those who have believed today. We thank you, Father, that we have passed from death to life. That one day, Lord, we will see you in heaven's glory. Until that day, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to live for your glory. Help us to live like those who have been redeemed. Even in the darkness of this world, let us be little lights that others might receive and believe. Let that be our prayer this day. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.